Blog Talk Radio.
Because we're blessed in this most existential, eternal moment. Be staying alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Racham, instructions of mercy. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio. We humbly submit and even assert we are the inner higher frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 658, A New Sim on the Rise, Part 8. Blessed is our Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience with Creator's blessings. Our next broadcast is taking place right now on July 30th, 2017, starting at 6:30 p.m. live from Jerusalem, the Holy Land of Israel, corresponding to 11:30 a.m. live Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, equals the USA, equals AKA Unifying Souls. Actually, program content will focus on being in discussion with founder and CEO at Ezra Nusim, Israeli Amuta, Yafa Bati DaCosta. Now, Fabati will talk about Rabbi Chaim Absalom and what has been transpiring with his courageous effort to engage in converting Bnei Anusim, in addition to other occurrences taking place in Brazil. Yafa Bati will be reading from the Times of Israel to further articulate on Rabbi Absalom's views and why he left the political party of Shas based in Israel due to feeling alienated from his deep feeling. Effort should be exerted to reaching out to others of Oriental background. As well, the Bnei Noach will be discussed, which should be of no shock to anyone who's been listening to this ongoing vibrant series. And also, I want to call to your attention a wonderful radio program, which is connected to this link if you go to my face page on wall page on Facebook, Don Zusia Goodman. It was a show that was done, I believe, last week by Judy Simon from the Mikdash Kids, talking about 500 years later, why do we have this issue of the Anusim? Our call-in number is 347-838-8669. May the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. And without further ado, as we turn on the music from the wonderful a cappella rendition of Chabatska a cappella from Reb Barry Weber, I think he's from Muncie, New York, we're going to bring in now the star of our show, because she has illuminated our broadcasting efforts, but souls in the last month with, based on what we've been doing in this continuing system of Yafa Bati DaCosta. So let's bring in really the star of our recent programming series. Yafa Bati, good morning, good afternoon.
Yes, good evening. All of the above. How are you, Don?
Baruch Hashem, and I'm feeling much better. Yafa Bati, I want to thank you. Since we did the last program, I believe it was in late June. Was it June 23rd? I'm just forgetting the exact date. I'm sorry, it was the second to last Sunday in June. There has been a morphological field revelation of listenership based on your presentation. It used to be that we had a 56% percentage of listenership from North America. It's been reduced to 4.21%. And the top listening audiences now, and I want to read this off to you, Afabati, and also this is in praise for those who are down in South and Central America. Our leading listenership right now in the last 30 days is Venezuela, who have a 19.22% share. We also have from Brazil in second place, 17.37%. We have Mexico, 11.20%, Bolivia 9.46%, Honduras 5.29%. And I credit that to you, Yafa Bhatia, for the quality and the depth of information that you are sharing with our international audience. I thank you profusely. We've basically covered most of the Western Hemisphere, including North America, South America, Canada. We just haven't gotten good old Mother Russia to tune in. One of the days we're going to get some out in Siberia to start tuning in. And I want to thank you for that. And it just shows that. And also it's very interesting because in Venezuela and Brazil, they're having some very sticky issues, especially, and I think in Venezuela, they're going to have a vote this week to maybe amend the Constitution. So hopefully that will give a little more freedom for the good people down in Venezuela. So I want to thank you for that. So
this is becoming a big, huge area of interest for a lot of people all over the Americas, because that's where most of the Anasim today live, the descendants of the forced converts from Spain and Portugal. So I think it's really the topic. And if I can bring, clarity and clear communication about it, I'm very happy to do so. And I just want to thank you so much for having one program per month focused on this area, because it is getting more and more interest, not only in all of the Americas, but also in Israel. So I'm going to talk about that.
Go ahead,
Don.
Okay. So I want to supercharge up the program, Yafa Bhatia, and bless those listening out there, because we really, in order to get things in the perspective it needs to be, we need some blessings and some elucidations from the written and oral Torah traditions. And we're going to start from the second verse in this week's Torah portion, which is Parshas Va'eschanan, or Etchanan, and which means basically Moshe Rabbeinu petitioned the Creator in the first verse, asking for grace. But in the second verse, I want to read it complete and then read three terse explanations by Rashi, who is considered to be the master of the oral Torah elucidations on the five books of Moses. And first of all, the verse reads like this: My Lord the Eternal, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty power. For who is as powerful of you as you in heaven or on earth? Who can perform anything like your actions or your mighty deeds? So Rashi comments where Moses was instructed by the Most High in this prophetical teaching, your greatness. Rashi explains what's going on here, being the Creator's attribute of goodness. As similarly, and Rashi brought down in the book of the Bamidbar. What is that? That's the book of not Exodus of Numbers.
Numbers.
The book of Numbers. I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget the English translation. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. And now I beseech you, let the strength of my Lord be great, according to you have spoken, saying God is long-suffering and of much mercy. Two more terse explanations, blessed souls, elucidations, and quoting, Rashi commenting, where it says, "Ves yadcha," literally your hand, I mean the Creator's, the power that's in the Creator's hand, literally, and your hand. This refers to your right hand, which is extended to all who enter the world, all human beings, to receive them in penitence. So I think what's going on here, Yafa Bhatia, Rashi is telling us, human beings, children of the world, people of the world, of all classes and cultures, the Creator extends his beneficence to receive everyone if they want to return to them. The simple translation in English is repentance or penitence, but teshuvah in the deeper sense is to return to him. And quote, and then the word that follows, Ves yadcha, chazaka, which means your mighty power, Rashi goes on to elucidate further on your strong hand, where the Creator will forcibly subdue the attribute of strict justice. And how does the Creator subdue the attribute of strict justice? Through the divine attribute of mercy. So blessed souls, the concepts that we'll be talking about today is all testimony. As Yafa Bhatia DaCosta mentioned at the beginning of the program, the Creator is showing us Creator's greatness and mighty power to give individuals the nusim to come back to within the fold of the children of Israel. And for those who want to go the whole nine yards, as they say, hey, they can elevate themselves by being as member of the human family experience, the blessed children of Noah, which is not only a title of spiritual elevation, it is their actual physical ancestry. I am of that congregation, Yavabatya, to go away from the term Gentiles, because it kind of leaves people in a quandary. Does it have a negative connotation? Does it have a positive connotation? Does it have no connotation? It's part of, so to speak. Now, when you say B'nai Noah, we're saying all the inhabitants of the world have their ancestry back to the righteous one of all of our families of the earth, Noah. One more thing I just want to mention, Yavabati, before I turn to you, your sagacity to teach the world the issues that we need to discuss today. Quoting from a Rambam HaSfardi, who Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Nesher Gadol, the great eagle, because a lot of things transpired on the Temple Mount last week. Rambam brings down in the laws of God's chosen house, which is the laws of the oral Torah tradition, how is the temple built, and how do the Jews serve it? And he brings down in chapter 1, verse 3, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, it became forbidden to build a sanctuary for God or to offer sacrifice in another place. Now, this is for the Jewish people. Now, we have to be very specific. Actually, according to the laws of Noah, the children, they can build a place for offering up sacrifices outside in any place they want to. But that's a further discussion in the distant future. There is no sanctuary for all generations except in Jerusalem, and specifically on Mount Moriah, which is the Temple Mount. It says in Chronicles 1, chapter 22, verse 1, and David declared, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar for the burnt offerings of Israel. And it says in Psalms 132, verse 14, this is my resting place forever. Now, I think one of the things, Yafabati, that our co-religionists, our co-faithful ones, are sensing a sense of importance to the temple, which they call Al-Aqsa, is because once the Creator chose Jerusalem as an eternal resting place for Shekhinah, divine presence, this is the gateway to heaven, even after the temple is destroyed. And there, my source for that is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechus Yogan Leidom, His Merits Protect Us, in volume 24, pages 80 to, well, what page it ends on, it's kind of erased, so I can't quote that. So it's understandable why they want to occupy there, but they should know that eventually, with the rebuilding of the temple, and this is not a warmongering cry, that the ones who initially brought that sanctity to the Temple Mount were the Israelites, and with all due respect, not to the Ishmaelites. So I understand why they want to pray at Al-Aqsa, but they should know that the way shall be prepared for the Mashiach, the Lion of Judah, from the King of Israel, the Prophet of Israel, the Teacher of Israel, and all of mankind, or humankind, womankind, whatever you want to say, to lead the way. So I've thrown a lot out there, Yafibata. Whether you want to comment on it, I'll leave it up to you, or we can go right into the issues that you want to discuss.
Well, I just want to comment that there is an awful lot going on here in Israel, and it just goes to show that we really are living in the days of the Geula, of the final and complete redemption, which some of the prophecies definitely talked about Ishmael, meaning descendants of Ishmael, having a role to play, along with the descendants of Edom, along with the descendants, of course, of Yaakov. And because we've been in the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av is coming on Tuesday, a fast day, okay, where we actually mourn the destruction of both temples, first and second temples. And for those of us who know the history of our people, we mourn other things like the exiling of the Jews from Spain, and I won't go on into all the things that happened on Tisha B'Av. But the bottom line is like this. Tisha B'Av is eventually going to be a major holiday of feasting and celebration, okay, when things get turned over, as it will, in terms of the Geula. And I just want to say that given that we've been in the 9 days, my husband and I have been watching videos. You know, we don't play music during the 9 days, and we've been watching Shirim videos about Torah and Hashem by Rabbi Mendel Kessin of Lakewood, New Jersey. He is so awesome and so incredible in his teachings, and we've been learning recently about the creation and the various stages of creation and the various grades of the Ein Sof. It's just been fabulous. So sometime maybe we could do a program about that, because it's just incredible what he teaches. I'd love to share some of those points, but that'll be for another day, okay?
Sure. I just want to mention, too, that there is a prophecy that our Ishmaelite co-religionists should be aware of, that they cannot claim sovereignty on the Temple Mount forever. It's a temporary thing because there is a prophecy from Isaiah in chapter 33, verse 2, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. For them, so for them to take that space and saying only Islamic prayers can be uttered is contradicting the prophecy of the prophet of redemption, Isaiah. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. In fact, after the Mashiach comes, all nations will be welcomed and invited to offer their prayers before the Most High and not to limit anyone based on their national, cultural, or even faith-based perspective. So that's, you know, one of the things that unfortunately our cousins like to accuse us of going against the prophets, but they, within their unfortunate dogma, are going against the prophet Isaiah, who says the Temple Mount, and that's not his idea, he was commanded via prophets to say this is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. Fabati, any comment on that?
Well, yes, absolutely. And to be honest with you, they're going against their own history, because there's two sacred sites on top of the Temple Mount today. One is Al-Aqsa Mosque, but the other one is called Dome of the Rock. And anybody can get onto internet and search on the Dome of the Rock history, and they will learn an astounding fact. That shrine, it's not a mosque, it's a shrine, and that shrine was built on top of the Temple Mount for the Jews by the Ishmaelites. And I don't want to talk any more about it because I don't want to take away from the topic of today.
Right.
But people
right.
can search on that, the Dome of the Rock, and they'll find out the history of that. Okay?
Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
It's the
I was unaware of that.
It's the radical Islamists that want to take the whole Temple Mount and have it only be for prayer by the Muslims. But anyway, I want to talk about Rabbi Amsalem.
Please
who's
do.
A rabbi that lives here in Israel, and he has been very supportive of the Amisim for a good long time. Actually, he was at the conference that was held about the Amisim 2.5 years ago now, in 2015, in October, where they started what they called the caucus, the Knesset caucus for the Amisim. And he was there along with 300 other people, you know, but he actually was one of the speakers as well. And he has now left. He was an MK, a minister in the Knesset, for the Shas party. And he left the Shas party for the Jewish Home Party. And there's an article that people can find on the internet in a publication called Times of Israel. So I'm going to read just a couple of excerpts from this and then tell you his role that he's taken on today. The article says it was published in August 24th of last year, 2016, and it starts out like this. In order to truthfully examine my connection with the Jewish Home Party, we'd have to look back almost 6 years at a time when I served as a member of Knesset for the Shas Party. I realized that the Shas movement was not able to contain my ideological and political opinions. I'd always held that we should never blur our Sephardic identity. He's a Sephardi rabbi, of course. We must be the benchmark for Mizrahim, Orientals, that are and were always both Zionist and supporters of Torah, that we should preserve the customs of our ancestors and incorporate their traditions of religious commitment and study while simultaneously being working individuals and providing for our families. However, as I said, these views were unfortunately alien to the Shas movement and were, by the way, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef of blessed memory himself had personally called me to join its Knesset list. So, following my resignation from Shas, I decided I would continue fighting for that vision by founding the Am Shalem movement. It's an ideology that tens of thousands share. Torah and employment, Torah and education, a moderate Judaism, military service for all, fighting assimilation, and a lenient conversion process and much more. Now, I'll stop there because the rest of the article people can read, but this business of a lenient conversion process is, and even all of the rest of what he said he focuses on, is really where the Anusim are today. The Anusim, of course, are Sephardi. They're descendants of the Spanish and Portuguese who were forcibly converted. Okay, they do believe in Torah plus employment, Torah plus education, a moderate Judaism, meaning not an extreme form, okay, military service for all. I mean, they agree with all of this stuff. Many of the Anusim that I talk to say they want to come to Israel and join the IDF or have their children join the IDF. It's very much in line with how our people feel. So this man is involved right now with Anusim in Brazil. So all the people in Brazil who are listening, I hope that you're going to have an opportunity to meet him at some point. I think he's been to Brazil already, but he's coming back in August, and he's going to be working with some people who are ready for their conversion slash return, whichever they're going to do with them, depending on what they qualify for. Okay? And what our people are going to do, and it's not just Brazil, it's in all the countries of Latin America and Central America, you know, in Mexico included, etc. And they're going to, most likely, until we get resolved the issues about who can make Aliyah and who is a, quote, recognized community, Jewish community, that has to be resolved. But aside from resolving those issues that we have to work here inside of Israel, these people are going to be getting their halakhic identity established as Jews, okay, which that's the first step anyway before they could make Aliyah if they wanted to, like you said earlier, go the full nine yards. So it's very, very important and critical what Rabbi Shalom is doing, Salem is doing, and I'm just so happy that he's getting involved to do this. It's just amazing.
What makes me very excited about this is that he was drafted into Shas by Rav Avadi Yosef, a blessed man, because Rav Avadi Yosef, we would call him a one percenter in terms of knowledge of Torah in our generation. So if Rav Avadi Yosef drafted him into Shas, that means Rav Salam is a thorough, authentic Torah rabbinical leader. You know, that I don't take that lightly. That, like, for instance, you have Rav Shalom Arush, who was one of the heads of the Breslov Hasidic movement. Rav Avadi Yosef put his hands on his head before he passed on to give him a blessing. I don't know if Rav Avadi Yosef did that to Rav Absalom, but Absalom, but even if he verbally, just so to speak, verbally laid his hands upon him, he must be an extremely important and special Rav.
Well, he is, and it's incredible that he is now so much involved, aside from being at that conference that I was also at, October 2015, at the Knesset building. So 2.5 years later, he has really, so to speak, taken the bull by the horns. Now, it's not just going to be Brazil. It's starting with Brazil, okay?
Right.
But, of course, as you know, Don, we've got listeners from all over South Central America, the Caribbean, and Mexico. And our group, Israel Anusim, has people in it, Anusim activists, okay, in all of these countries. I mean, you want to talk about Colombia or Venezuela, of course, and Mexico and Puerto Rico and El Salvador and Costa Rica, you know, and Nicaragua. You know, we have members in our group that are involved in the groups of the B'nai Anusim in all of these countries, and, of course, the United States and Canada as well, Spain and Portugal, and the island colonies. There are people working together and working with their local, you know, members of these organizations and groups to help people, to help them come along on the path that they need to take in order to return to the Judaism of today, okay, from the shadows, from the secrecy, from the fear that we were raised with as B'nai Anusim.
Right.
And, you know, things are starting to happen. I'm just so excited and so pleased. And there's a rabbi in Brazil, Rabbi Ventura, who now has a letter of, I can't remember how to say it in English, but a letter, maybe of appropriation for the work he's been doing in Brazil. Rabbi Ventura has been working long and hard for several years now with the people in Brazil, and he does Torah lessons over the internet, on video. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful guy. We've got all kinds of people involved with the Anusim and helping them, and it's just really heartwarming, and you know, it's about time too, but it's heartwarming that we have somebody of this stature in Torah and of this stature well known in the country to work with other Knesset members, to work with the Mizrat HaPanim on behalf of our people. It's phenomenal. It really is.
And would Rub, let me just make sure I'm saying his name correctly, please. Rav Absalom, is he the Rav that we were going to try to have on the program, or this is someone else?
No, this is a different Rav, but he works with the Rav we were going to try to have on the program. He's part of the Jerusalem Beit Din. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He's a very, I had hesitated to use his name before because he's so well known. But now that it's out in, you know, sort of more public, of his commitment to helping me on a scene and making these trips to Brazil, and it, like I said, it's only just starting with the Brazil. But in Brazil, there are many, many people with this ancestry, of course, you know, so it's really a large place for him to start. Now, the other thing that's going on that I'll mention briefly, and then I'll see what kind of questions you might have, is there's a mapping project that they want to do. It's going to be done by an organization called the Institute for Sephardi and Anusim Studies at Netanya College in the city of Netanya in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say the background from this project plan that they sent to me. The Institute for Sephardi and Anusim Studies held its first seminar for lay leaders of the B'nai Anusim groups and communities from Brazil in Netanya, Israel, in February and March of 2017. A particular effort was made to raise awareness in the highest political and administrative circles at the national level, meaning the foreign ministry, the ministries of diaspora and strategic ministries, the Jewish agency, rabbis, and MKs, as well as the Federation of Jewish Communities in Brazil, which is an organization in Portuguese. It's CONIB is the initials. The organization of B'nai Anusim into communities in Brazil is a recent phenomena. We collected preliminary information about those communities in order to select participants, organize, and conduct our seminar. We are aware of the fact that the majority of Brazilian B'nai Anusim have not taken steps to become affiliated with any type of Jewish mainstream organizations or movements, for example, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, or Humanist Judaism. Now, the objective of this mapping project, they're calling it, is that by the end of the two-week seminar, the strong and shared need to map B'nai Anusim communities in Brazil became very apparent. To that end, we want to send a researcher to Brazil and physically map the various B'nai Anusim communities by size and location, as well as record sociological data, including origins, affinities, details about transmission of hidden traditions and practices, mainstream Jewish practice, family names, and group resources. So they have a questionnaire that they're going to use on nail summarizing. And they have an individual, a rabbi, selected. He's got a really outstanding resume. So they've selected somebody to be the person to go out and do the mapping, okay? And they're looking for funding in order to do it. I think if I scroll down to the bottom here, it's going to be maybe $30,000 to $50,000 by the time they're done, $1,000, okay? They have to pay the airfare and accommodations for the rabbi who's going to go out and do the mapping. And that's just Brazil. So I want to say to the people listening in Brazil, you know, thank God you're going to have the opportunity to contribute to this so that we can help the Jewish agency understand the nature of the communities, these what some people call emerging communities of the B'nai Anusim. Okay, so it's a very important project, and it won't stop with Brazil. I mean, why would they stop with Brazil? They'll go into other countries of the Latin type, you know, where the language is Spanish. Again, countries like El Salvador and Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Mexico, of course, and Colombia. Colombia already has a B'nai Anusim organization that people can join. So there's, I'm so excited about all of this because it's really, the time has come. And, you know, the other thing that's going on, and then we can banter a little bit, Don, back and forth. Our group and the group of rally coordinators who've been for 2 years now doing the rallies, the pro-Israel rallies and celebrations at Yom HaTzmaut, we're going to be starting in a couple of days in August, okay, planning for the one that we're going to be doing in 2018. And this we're going to plan longer and deeper and more because next year, as I'm sure many of our listeners know, is the 70th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. And 70 is an incredible number. It's all through Torah and the Nevi'im and through, you know, Gemara or whatever, talking about the number 70, but especially in Torah. And I won't go into all the examples, but it's going to be a major milestone for the country of Israel. And the fact that even now we're getting all of this additional attention for the plight of the B'nai Anusim, or what has been the plight, and hopefully we're getting out of that plight mode and victimhood mode and getting into more of a positive, you know, responsive thing and help from Israel as well as help from other areas. I'm just very enthusiastic for what it means for 2018. So I'll stop now and see what else you want to have to say.
Well, again, I like what, thank you for sharing this very potent, powerful information. And I want to identify this, Rav, because I'm you sent me before the program this whole fact sheet. His name is Rabbi Daniel. I hope I'll do justice to the pronouncing of his last name. Maybe you know, can know it better. Tau Itoi. I'm just gonna. It's Rabbi Daniel Daniel, capital Touitou. And actually, he has two emails. I'm not gonna give out his phone number, but I will give out his emails, bless his soul, because those of you who are anywhere in the world that want to give him hopefully some sort of financial sponsorship or even just, you know, rabbanim him like this, they need to know that others are happy with the work that they're doing. A lot of these people work in a very isolated, isolated. They don't realize that they're willing to sacrifice their time and effort and energy. But the fact that they're being going to get letters of encouragement via email and hopefully financial support, it will help them. So there's two emails I'd like to share with you, blessed souls, for Rabbi, and again, I apologize, I don't think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Touitou, again, it's Touitou, and the two emails are sdtouitou@gmail.com. That's sdtouitou@gmail.com. And he also has an Israeli email address at Salomon, Salomonb, at Netanya, Netanya, .ac.il. That's Salomon, Salomonb, at Netanya, Netanya. .acil. And also, you could mention to the rabbi that you heard about him on Soul Class in this program series called Anusim on the Rise, Part 8, with CEO and Ezra Lanusim Amuta Yafa Batya Kasta, because hopefully this rav will network with Yafa Batya, which will make it will be a mutually enriching experience, and I'd love to have the Rav on. In fact, you know what I think, Batya? I think I'm going to send him a copy of today's program to his email. Maybe he'll want to join us one day for a future presentation.
Well, I think that would be excellent. The other person that we could invite, or you could invite, is Solomon Buzaglo. That's the second email you gave out. Now, he's the Institute manager at the Institute, okay? Called the Institute for Sephardi and Anusim Studies. And Solomon and I have known each other for, you know, quite a few years, off and on, talked on email or whatever, you know. But he's the manager of the Institute. And the third person who's mentioned there, by the way, I'll just drop his name because he's an old friend also, is Professor Avi Gross. And Professor Avi Gross is going to be the recipient of the report when it's done, okay? And he used to work, he used to be a professor at in Beersheba, okay, at Ben-Gurion University, and now he's the academic head at the Institute. Again, it's called the Institute for Sephardi and Unassum Studies. And actually, Professor Gross, Avi Gross, helped me to start my organization 11 years ago called Ezra Lanassim, and he was on the board of directors, okay? So I've known Avi, you know, even longer than Solomon. But it's all connected. These are people who are very, very dedicated to the subject of the B'nai Anasim and want to do everything they can to help. And they believe that this mapping project of Brazil, and as I said, hopefully we'll do other countries later, is going to help the Jewish agency to understand this phenomena of the return of the B'nai Anasim, to understand the types and natures of these emerging communities and the types of people in them, and to hopefully, as a result of that, encourage more and more support from Israel on behalf of the Jewish agency, the Sochnut, we say, and ultimately on the part of the Mizrat HaPanim, the agency in Israel, the Ministry of Interior, that's responsible for determining who can make Aliyah, who qualifies to make Aliyah. Obviously, they have to be Jewish. And so this is all part and parcel of what needs to be going on. It's phenomenal that it's starting and that we're involved. You, Don, are a part of it. I'm a part of it. You know, we're small little. My perception, my vision is we are tiny little pieces of cogs in a huge wheel of prophecy being filled in our day, and not just about the B'nai Anasim, all kinds of prophecies, but related to just the B'nai Anasim and the prophecy in Ovadia, the exiles from Yerushalayim at Sepharad, which is Spain and Portugal, will inherit the cities of the Negev, and there's all kinds of other aspects to this that's going on, and I'm just so privileged, I feel, to be a small part of this. Whatever Hashem wants me to do is what I want to do, you know, and thank you also for being so committed to these efforts, and having us talk about it on your radio broadcast. Thank you so much.
Well, the reason why I feel obligated, since, well, first of all, it's because of the power of your articulation, and as one caller once called, and your gentle and very pleasant way of presenting, is that I was given a chance. Now, I am not of Sephardic or Anusim ancestry. My wife's family is. And again, they were able to escape from Toledo before the Inquisition got their insidious hands upon them. So my wife's family was not touched with the same type of trauma that the Anusim are. But again, even though I grew up in a Ashkenazic family here in the West, I was given a second chance. So, or a first chance, you might even call it. And maybe I was given more chances. I mean, it's like a smorgasbord of, you know, in the divine scenario, one can think it was a first chance or many chances or a second chance, whatever. The point is, I believe that human beings, I kind of think I'm reflecting my Hasidic background, every human being has the right of a genuine and intimate and profound connection with the Creator, whether they'll be as children of Noah, whether it'll be children of Israel, whether it'll be Anusim, who want to go, as we mentioned before, the full nine yards, and convert or reverse, whatever the term is proper to be used, or they want to become faithful Bnei Noach. I believe, because human beings were supposed to be stewards of the earth, Yefabatil. Everyone should have the chance, and to stifle this awareness, to me, it has the same sting. It's like when, say, like the Nazis 70-plus years ago would burn books of the Torah, of the Gemara, or I'm sure in the Inquisition they also burn books. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, the Nazis did a lot of what was done during the times of the Inquisition, the Holy Office of Inquisition, it was called, the Roman Catholic Church. And they studied those things. They studied the records. There was actually one Nazi, I can't remember his name, probably a mental block against remembering his name,
right,
who traveled to Spain and looked up the records, some of the documents and documentation of the people and how they were treated. And then he went back to Germany and he instituted some of those things in terms of what happened during the Shoah. So a lot of people don't know that there is a connection between the Inquisitions and what happened in that period of time, and then later, and what happened in Europe, okay, in terms of what the Nazis did. It's absolutely incredible. But by the way, I also, as long as you're mentioning B'nai Noach, which you know I'm also very, very supportive of the B'nai Noach movement,
mm-hmm.
and I want
mm-hmm.
to share with you, there's another person that we might someday invite to be on the show, and he is now the executive director of the Emuna Project and works directly with Rav Dror, okay? And his name is Ira Michelson. And we've known, Ira and I have known each other for a little bit now. I've been on his radio show that is called Beyond the Matrix with him and Rod Reuven Bryant. And he and I are now in discussions about how we can partner together to better serve both the B'nai Anusim and the B'nai Noach communities, because Rav Dror and his teachings, and it's all over the internet as well, and he also goes out into various communities and teaching people, and he gets connected to all kinds of people, both B'nai Noach and B'nai Anusim. Some of the people in my group, Ezra Lanusim, came to me because of Rav Dror, and they were referred to me through Rav Dror. So Ira and I were going to have discussions about this, which I'm very excited about, because I've been supportive of the B'nai Noach, you know, even longer than for the B'nai Anusim. This was even at a time when I thought I would probably be a Bat Noach for the rest of my life, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know I had Jewish ancestry, which is so common to many of the B'nai Anusim that they don't even know. They find out later, of course, but at a certain point in their life, they're not even aware that their ancestors were secret Jews. So it's just a delightful, delightful thing to be, you know, talking to Ira and working with Ira right now about the B'nai Noach movement.
Well, I would be very happy and honored to have him on, because, you know, he actually carries a much stronger voice in terms of influence than I do, and to have someone who can spread his influence through the humble aegis of our humble efforts here. I mean, if you have contact with him, I'd be very happy to have him on the next program.
Oh, not only contact, I'll be speaking to him as soon as this program's over. We have a meeting scheduled.
So tell him
he has carte blanche.
He has carte blanche. Not only does he have carte blanche invitation to join, he can take over, and I'll be a listener and a questioner. My program is a platform for people to bring out issues which are matters of Torah, and they have to involve practical action. And I think is he a Rav Ira or Reb Ira?
No, he's not a Rav Ira right now.
Okay.
He might become one. I don't know. He'll have to speak to that himself when he's on the program.
Okay, so the point is, I mean, he is a courageous human soul for his background. I mean, I think his story itself being shared, cross-pollinated with the story of the Anusim, would be a wonderful, I mean, it would be like mixing two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. I mean, to be living water of testimony of the spirit of overcoming the obstacles in one's life. So I would
uh-huh.
be most happy to have him on the program.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing that's going on is, for some of the B'nai Anusim who either don't know they have this ancestry, or they're being drawn to Torah even before they find out, for example, or for some of them, they might not know if they can convert or return or whatever, and they start to study the mitzvah Sheva Noach, the seven mitzvahs of Torah that are the social commandments for all of mankind. They start to study there sometimes, okay, and then they move on later. So it's in sometimes with some people it's a great starting point, okay, and it's a community that they can feel comfortable in and get to know these other people who are all, because these are all people who are all committed to Torah and Hashem, And so whether it's at the level of Bnei Noach or the level of someone who's from the Anusim who wants to make a full return / conversion and ultimately live in Israel, whatever it is, people have to start somewhere. And for a lot of people, the Bnei Noach is a great place to start.
Amen. Now you should know, Yafabadia, as we've been talking, I actually looked up the Institute for Sephardi and Nusim Studies, and I'm actually cutting and pasting as we're discussing today's rodeo program to let them know that we are promoting their program, and hopefully we'll get one of their representatives to come on the program. So, again, this is through, because of you, all of this is transpiring. I'm just a person who's cutting, pasting, and these conversations are really all in your merit, and it kind of reminds me of this very famous teaching that my Rebbe would mention, that it is the merit of Nashim Tzidkaniyot, it is in the merit of our righteous women that we will bring about the redemption. And it was the women who wanted to go to into Eretz Israel, the Holy Land. The men had some problems, and we know we got delayed 40 years because of the doubts the men had, but the women have no doubts. And when I hear your voice, and I'm sure when thousands and eventually should be hundreds and thousands and millions of people hear your voice clearly, there's no doubt in your conviction, and there's no doubt in the knowledge you've accumulated with the humility of knowing there's more to learn. But as you learn, I see you're sharing more and more. And I think that's the ingredients, Hashem's blessings, for a universal, successfully burgeoning, growing, mutually nourishing movement. And you know, it's going to cause a lot of people who are Jewish from birth to also do tshuva, repent.
Well, you know, that's what we all need to do, Don. Truth be told, we all can come closer to Hashem. This is why I love this Rabbi Kessin so much, because he talks about this, how to become close to Hashem. How to, you know, let me give you a metaphor that I used to, because, you know, I used to do radio years ago. And then at the same time as I was doing radio in Texas, I was with Wendell Jones and teaching the Bnei Noach, the Mitzvah Sheva Noach. And so what I used to say to people is this, because I was raised in New England, and every summer and fall, we have to be concerned about hurricanes, right? Coming
right
up the East Coast. And, you know, you start to watch the weather channel and see a hurricane forming, right, around the Caribbean. And then maybe come up the coast and you start getting prepared and you go shopping and you buy extra batteries and extra this and that. And so I like to use the metaphor of the hurricane. And it goes like this. In the middle of the hurricane, it's called the eye of the storm.
Right.
And the storm winds and rain and everything and how powerful it is and how strong and how much damage it can do, actually, right, is all around the eye. But in the eye of the storm, it's very calm. It's very peaceful. You know, it's like there's nothing going on, right? No rain, no wind,
right,
no destruction, no nothing. And that's what happens when people get close to Hashem. It's like no matter what's going on, like here in Israel, okay, I mean, I'm at times concerned, you know, if people are being injured and whatever is going on here. But I know that people who are close to Hashem, it's like being in the eye of the storm. That storm can be all around us and not touch us, okay, not touch a hair on our head if we're close to Hashem. And that's what this Rabbi Kessin teaches about, and there are some other wonderful teachings that he has in his shiurim that are so wonderful and really helpful to people. We all, every single one of us, need to become closer to Hashem. If you want to call it return, if you want to call it tshuva, if you want to call it becoming more spiritual instead of just the ritualistic practices of going through the motions, because Rabbi Kessin talks about that, you know, there are all kinds of ways in which every single one of us can become closer to Hashem. And that's Hashem's desire and will for us, is that we're close to Him, and then He becomes close to us. Rabbi Kessin says that in this world, he operates like a shadow. If we move to the left, he goes to the left. If we move to the right, he goes to the right. Okay? And so measure for measure, whatever we do, we get back like a boomerang. You know, you throw out a boomerang, it comes right back to you, right? So this is the concept of midah keneged midah. If we're putting blessing out into the world, we're getting blessing back. I bless so much people like Rabbi Amsalem, Avi Gross, you know, Solomon Buscalo, I can't say his name right now, and all the people in our group, Ezra Alanasim, and all the rally coordinators who've been involved in over 2 years in this project, everybody who's involved with helping the Unseen, and of course the Unseen themselves. I'm so grateful for all of these people and all of what they're doing. And if I can have some small voice and share this information and encourage and inspire other people to join us and other people to decide, okay, it's safe now. It's safe to come out of the shadows. It's safe to come out of hiding. It's safe to come back and reintegrate with our people that we were severed from so many years, our ancestors actually were severed from so many years ago. If that can be a result of these conversations publicly over the internet and other things that we're doing, I would just be ecstatic.
Amen. By the way, I just want to let you know, I sent the email with a copy of today's program to the Institute for Sephardi and Nusim Studies, and I got a response. Thank you, Don Goodman. We will respond to your email as soon as possible. So hopefully later in the week, Yaffe Batya, I'll have some good news for you that eventually we'll have a representative from this wonderful organization, from the Netanya Academic College, to join us on the program.
That would be great. Listen, you're a man of action, Don. That's fantastic. You didn't even wait until the show's over. I love it.
I'm getting goose pimples as I'm doing the program. That means this is a soul-raising experience doing programs with you, everybody. I do want to share a wonderful teaching. We talked about, you know, people being in Hashem's eye. I mean, one of the prophecies as well, Babas Ayin, that we are in the apple of Hashem's eye. So who touches us is actually trying to make a fight against Hashem. This is not out of arrogance. This is just an axiomatic Torah teaching. That Rav Hillel Meparich, who was a tzaddik and a mekubal, and he was actually a follower of three Chabad rebbes, has a teaching to help us know that there's a way we can even increase our protection. And that is, when you go deeper into the teachings of your Rav, and the Lubavitcher mentioned that Rambam, for instance, is Mor LeNevuchim. He is a guide for the perplexed of all generations, even into the times of the days of the Messiah, Mashiach, the Messianic redemption, the Gula Mitzvah Shleima, the true and complete redemption. So I would humbly suggest to our listeners around the world, go find how you can access the teachings of Rambam, whether you be a Jew, a Ben Noah, a Bas Noah, whether you be the Anusim. Rambam is a universal instructor, Yaffe Batya. And this is something that the Jewish congregations of the Oriental Sephardic minions should be very proud of, that one of their finest representatives, I mean, there are other great ones, Don Arbanel, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, but the Ramban, the Rav Hillel Meparich says, if, and I'll just give an example, immerse your minds in the teachings of Rambam. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, if you want to know what to do, go learn a Rambam. And I think this will percolate, it will activate those soulful feelings that are embedded in so many people who others might are feeling overwhelmed by their oppressive spiritual circumstances and even physical circumstances and economic circumstances. But Rambam is a key. It's the truth of Rambam. Why would a Rebbe whose dynasty is rooted in White Russia pick a Sephardic Rav who eventually became the chief doctor of the royal term for the Egyptian ruler at the time of Rambam? It's not king. The Sultan. What? Because the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, wanted the truth to go out, and you can access the truth through the teachings of Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. So wherever you are in the world, bestows, go to the teachings of Rambam. Now, there are certain halachic Jewish law nuances, which we don't always rule like him, but in terms of getting that knowledge, just to me, Yaffe Batya, Rambam is the litmus test. How do you want to grow in your spirituality? How do you want to grow in your communing with other human beings? That's why I'm very so taken by the Rebbe's decision that we should use the teachings of Rambam to bring the nation of Israel together. And I think this will give an additional koyach to the B'nai Anusim movement.
Oh, absolutely. And over the years, by conversations with people, the Rambam comes up a lot. In other words, the Anusim, like many other Sephardi are very, very into the Rambam, to be honest with you. Many people already are. It's true. It's wonderful to learn the Rambam.
Every year, whether it be in Kronite, I once went to an international gathering in Yerushalayim. We've called the Sima Rambam. There are some people learn three chapters a day, so they finish the Mishnah Torah every day. I was there, Yofi Batya. It was in 1990. Who was there? There was Rav Mordechai. Oh, why am I forgetting his name? The chief Sephardic rabbi at the time. You know it. Oy, Hashem should forgive me. I forgot his last name. Rav Mordechai, you know who I'm talking about. He came after Rav Avadi Yosef, was the chief Sephardic. Rav
Mordechai
Eliyahu. Eliyahu, right. I heard him speak at the Rambam gathering. The Gera Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, unfortunately passed on 22 years ago, and also was there was the great Makuba, Rav Kadori. And there was Lubavitcher Rabbanim. Just about every segment of Jewish Rabbanim were there to celebrate the teaching, to saying, Jews, Jewish people, that which was formerly in the hands of the scholars of Israel, Lubavitcher is advising all of the Jewish people. Rambam is for every layman and every scholar, because Rambam, the power of the teachings of Mishnah Torah, have the ability to bring the nation of Israel together. And again, I want to extend it out to the Anusim. Try to access these teachings, blessed souls. Our future brothers and sisters, our present brothers and sisters, because in Rambam you see that even within the quote-unquote acknowledged Jewish community, I hate to use that term, but I'm saying, I saw with my own fleshly eyes, Yafi Batya, brought together Sephardic Rabbanim, the chief rabbi of Israel, for the Sephardim, and probably the top Makubal of our generation, Rav Kadori, and Lubavitcher Rabbanim, and Sephardic Rabbanim. This is the power of the Nesher Gold, of the great eagle, Rambam.
Right. Now, before we end the program, Don, I just want to remind people how they can get connected to me, and through me get connected to some of these projects and efforts and activities that are going on for the B'nai Anusim. And by the way, if people write to me in Spanish or Portuguese, I can use Google Translate. So don't let the language difficulty, prevent you from getting in touch with me. You can find me on Facebook, Yafa Batya Da Costa. You can find the organization Ezra L'Anusim Israeli Amuta on Facebook. As a matter of fact, if you just type in Israeli Amuta, you'll get my organization, because I'm the only one listed there as an Israeli Amuta. The word Amuta in Hebrew simply means non-profit, okay?
Uh-huh.
And please contact me if you're interested in anything that's going on, and if I can help you, if I can connect you with other people who can help you. That's who I am. That's what I do day in and day out, and I'd be very happy to connect with you.
And she's great at it, bless those. I just want to mention one more thing. And first of all, thank you very, very much, Yafi Batya Da Costa, for coming on today's program. Every time you come on, I think you're taking it to the next level in terms of knowledge, pleasant presentation, empowerment, and live radio coaching, because you're coaching me as well. I mean, you're making me more get into it more.
And, Don, let's tell people our next broadcast will be on August 27th. Okay?
August 8, 2017, blessed souls. No, I'm going to put it into my smartphone so I don't make the dumb mistake of forgetting.
Okay. All right.
I just want to mention one more
thing
before
we... Thank
you, Don. No problem. I just want to mention one thing, blessed souls. I mentioned Rambam is not only for the Jewish people, blessed souls. You should know that. Rambam, in the code of the Mishnah Torah, he also talks about the 7 Noahide Commandments. In fact, it's not even in the more normative code of Jewish law in the Beis Yosef. So it shows you even the self-sacrifice Rambam had for the good of the entire human family experience. He also talks about the laws of repentance, the laws of charity, the laws of redemption, where the world will be filled with the knowledge of the Creator, and to the point where, like, the knowledge of the Creator will fill the earth like the waters cover the ocean beds. So Rambam is not only for the Sephardim, he's not only for the Ashkenazim, he's not only for the Mizrahim, he's not only for the Jews from Russia, the Jews from Tunis, whatever, North Africa, whatever you want to call them. He's for every human being. And that's a topic of discussion for future program. In the meantime, I just want to, again, thank you, Yaffe Batya. I can't stop thanking you because today, I think we broke through some barriers here. And because I'm looking forward to hearing some good news that Rav Ira Michelson will want to join us at a future program. I'll be happy to sit at his feet cognitively, emotionally, intellectually to hear the story he'll want to share with the whole world. And also, I want to remind everyone that we've all got to do good. The reason why we have to do good, because our teva tov leheitiv, which is the nature of the good to do good, and the creator is the essence of our goodness. And since we are in this world, that means that we are good. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It is mamish, a matter of Torah, to tell everyone they have a tzelem Elokim, a divine image, which is no dream, to help a person, every human being, to get up and scrimmage, all 7 billion plus in this world, to the exclusion of none. And to help us segue out of today's program in a way of a havachad, one love, girl, achad, one destiny, kolana, for all of us, badaki, namdaki, shalom, pleasant, peaceful way. We're going to end off with the blessed a cappella music of Rav Yosef Kaduner in his Shir Malos a cappella, Tehillim, Psalm 121. And it has 8 terse verses which have the power which make any atom or hydrogen bomb melt like candle before the fire. A song of ascent, I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day, the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming from now into eternity. Without further ado, our fellow brother Jew, the blessed Yosef Kaduner with Shemals, A Song of Ascents. Take care, everyone.
Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim tolam tolam. Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim. Me'ayin yavo Ezri. Ezri עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום, ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימיניך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימיניך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם.